I'm Paul Wiegraf, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today is a Delaware Artist Fellowship recipient from 2015. Is that correct? And also a clarinetist and instructor at the University of Delaware, Christopher Nichols. Welcome, Christopher.
Hi, Paul. Thanks so much for that.
It's great to have you here joining us today. I want to make sure I sort of fill our listeners in on sort of the breadth of your career as a musician. We're also here to talk today about the release of a new CD that you've recorded. But so much in your career brought you to our attention, the Delaware Division of the Arts attention, with a fellowship, and this CD project is a collaboration with another fellowship recipient of ours, Kevin Cope, and also University of Delaware pianist Julie Nishimura, who has been on the show in the past for a number of reasons with her expansive career in the arts as well. But let's hear about you, Chris Nichols, as a clarinetist, as a musician, a little bit about your background, what brought you to Delaware, and sort of the range of your experience as a musician.
I'd have to say that my first experience is learning how to be a professional musician started my education probably after high school. I attended the Boston Conservatory in Boston, Massachusetts, which is now actually falls under the Berklee College of Music, but it's the Boston Conservatory at Berklee. I attended there from like 1999 to 2003. I studied with some wonderful teachers, including Ian Greitzer, who plays with the Boston Pops Esplanade. If you ever watch them on the 4th of July, he's the guy playing principal clarinet. He teaches at Rhode Island College now. And I also got to study saxophone with Kenneth Radnofsky, and I had tons of experience playing chamber music and in orchestra and wind bands and in opera orchestras and ballet orchestras and all sorts of things during that experience. I became really interested in the classic clarinet sound of the 20th century, so I wanted to go study with somebody who really emanated that for graduate school. So I spent a little bit of time in Washington, D.C. area at Catholic University of America studying with Steve Barda from the Baltimore Symphony. Our lives don't always kind of work out exactly the way that we want them to, and I didn't like Washington, D.C. at all. I just didn't like living there. I was plenty busy doing a variety of things, teaching and playing and some side work while studying. But at Catholic, there were all these military bandsmen in the DC bands, and they encouraged me to pursue that as a career prospect. So I did, and I auditioned and was accepted into the program, and found myself at basic combat training in 2004 in South Carolina, which is an awful place to be in the summer. It's just disgustingly hot, and it's basic training, which isn't fun. So I spent 9 weeks there and graduated, and then went to the Armed Forces School of Music in Little Creek, Virginia. And then proceeded to go to my first duty station in Bamberg, Germany, which is just a fantastic place to live. I was maybe 22 at the time. I got to take in a fantastic orchestra, the Bamberg Symphony, which is heavily recorded. I got to go pretty much every weekend. I lived in Germany. I was stationed there for about 18 months. That gave me the opportunity to hear them. I think I saved all the tickets 36 times. I took little side trips up to Berlin and Munich and Paris and Copenhagen and Prague, just hearing as much of these European traditions of music as I possibly could. Just fantastic playing. That was really important to me in my development as a musician. I also had the opportunity to study with a German clarinet teacher, Günter Voigt, in Nuremberg, which is interesting. Nuremberg is the birthplace of the instrument in ambiguously around 1700. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of neat to think about that I got to study the clarinet a little bit where it was born. From that point, we came down on orders as a band to relocate to Fort Riley, Kansas. Unexpected, to say the least. And I think I'd been through Kansas on like one of those family vacation things where you drive across the country mm-hmm. and see everything. You always remember there's nothing to see in Kansas. that's sort of everybody's emotion about it or thought about it. There's not a whole lot there except a blue sky and a lot of flatness and tornadoes.
Open expanse. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So I think that was in 2006. I ended up out there in Kansas at Fort Riley. I actually liked it, and I linked up with another mentor and teacher at that point, Todd Kerstetter. He's currently the treasurer of the International Clarinet Association, and I completed my master's degree with him in about three semesters. And Kansas State was just wonderful. The university there in Manhattan, Kansas, the Little Apple, as they call it, about being flexible with my military schedule and all that kind of thing. He was just very, very supportive, lots of great information. I always remember from studying with him that I was working really hard, but I didn't know that I was. So that was great. It turns out I actually liked Kansas. So I stayed there for my doctoral work down the interstate in Lawrence, Kansas, at the University of Kansas with Dr. Stephanie Zelnick, another incredible mentor of mine. I learned a great deal about the world of academic music, how to work at a university, how to teach. Lots of great information from her. And I like still text message with her pretty much at least three or four times a week. She's just a terrific player, terrific person, a real force of energy. After I finished my doctorate, I ended up teaching for a few years in Nebraska at a small college called Concordia University, Nebraska, in Seward, which is just 26 miles west of Lincoln. So I lived in Lincoln, and I did a little bit of the piecemeal arts kind of stuff where you work a little bit in arts administration, and I taught orchestra, clarinet, saxophone, woodwind techniques, music appreciation, whatever they happened to send at me for set fee per credit hour is the nature of being an adjunct. And I worked at a firm called Arts Incorporated, and I learned about every aspect of the music business in my 2 year time there. So that was a neat experience. And then in 2013, I had the opportunity to come to Delaware on a temporary appointment as assistant professor of clarinet, 1 year contracts. At that time, they sort of estimated maybe there would be 2 years of this, and then they would do what they call a national search for a tenure track position, which took place in 2015. In 2015, I had to apply for the position that I occupied again, and fortunately won the tenure track national search the same week that I was awarded the fellowship from the Delaware Division of the Arts. So it was a nice week.
Yeah.
It was a very nice week.
Now, where are you from originally?
I am actually a native of Allentown, Pennsylvania. So if you trace that journey from Allentown to Boston to Washington, D.C. to South Carolina to Virginia to Germany to Kansas to Nebraska, it's funny that I landed about 95 miles from where I grew up very unexpectedly. But
it sounds like a relatively non-traditional path to get to where you are today. I mean, with the military involvement and study in Europe as well as study here in the U.S. So really, really a fascinating background, which now I'm curious, did you go off to undergraduate school anticipating studying clarinet?
Yes.
So you had background in your earlier schooling.
Yes, I had taken maybe about 8 or 9 years of clarinet lessons from a really popular teacher in the Allentown area at that time, the late Chet Hines. He pretty much taught everyone that played a woodwind instrument when they were a beginner, kind of up to intermediate. I studied with someone who lives in Buffalo now, Carol Timmerman Yorty, and she was a wonderful teacher. And then she moved up to Buffalo, so that ended. And then I studied with John Schwartz, who was then and still is the principal clarinet of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. And I regularly have the privilege to go up to Allentown maybe twice a season and play with the section when they do larger works or when somebody's unavailable as a substitute, which is kind of fun. I get to go up there and play Miller Symphony Hall with my teacher from high school.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
But it's exciting for him, too.
He says it is. So
yeah, that's great.
I appreciate that.
Now, what do you teach at UD?
I teach clarinet, chamber music. I'm a member of the faculty wind quintet in residence, the Christiana Winds, and some mixed chamber music. I've done things for reed quintet, which is an interesting ensemble of oboe, clarinet, bass clarinet, saxophone, and bassoon that's become really, really popular in the last few decades as a chamber music alternative to the standard woodwind quintet instrumentation that we do in Christiana Winds of flute, oboe, clarinet, bassoon, and horn.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a great segue into looking at this most recent project of yours, Elegia, the CD, which mm-hmm. is going to be released soon. But before we get into that, let me remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest in the studio today is Chris Nichols, a clarinetist at the University of Delaware, teaching there now, and also a local musician performing locally and regionally and sounds like nationally as well at times. So, Chris, let's delve into this project, Elegia, the CD project. We mentioned earlier that you, in 2015, received a fellowship from the Division of the Arts, I believe, in solo performance. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, Paul.
And the same year, Kevin Cope received a fellowship in composition from the Division of the Arts. And he is one of your collaborators on this CD. So let's get into this project. What's the release date for it?
Friday, September 8th, 2017, okay. Elegia will be available for purchase through iTunes, Amazon.com, and there's also an electronic press kit available on the label website, NavonaRecords.com.
Okay. Well, let's get into the project from its origin, sort of what was your brainchild in pulling this together, and I'm curious, how is the variation of selection sort of reflective of who you are as a musician and what really interests you?
Well, this disc actually sort of turned out to be the Delaware disc without being titled so. The title track, Elegia, by an Italian romantic clarinetist and clarinet music composer, Aurelio Magnani, was actually the first thing that I performed at the University of Delaware after my faculty appointment with Julie Nishimura. So that's a special piece from that perspective. The John Cage Sonata for an accompanied clarinet I became familiar with through a colleague of mine at the University of Delaware in the theory area, Phil Duker. They were having a Cage Festival of all things, and he asked me if I'd like to play something. So I had to dig because I didn't know anything. So I found this piece. I learned it, became fond of it, and performed it an awful lot. So that particular work I didn't know about until I came to Delaware. So it's just one of those interesting links that you make. Kevin is actually a UD alum, and he teaches at our community music school and works at the community music school in arts administration. And he's actually had two fellowships, both in the emerging and established artist categories over the years. And he gave me a copy of Sirocco, his work for unaccompanied clarinet. And we performed together a few times because he's done some things for clarinet and guitar as well. So he's also a fine performing guitarist in addition to composer. But Sirocco had been premiered, and there was like a YouTube recording by an Italian clarinetist, Arianna Teghi, but it didn't have a commercial recording yet. And I liked the piece. And I learned it and performed it probably about half a dozen times. The first time was actually, I think, in Ghent, Belgium, and then for the 5th European Clarinet Association Festival. That was also in 2015. And at a UD composition alum recital, and I can't remember other places off the top of my head. Those particular tracks are very sort of Delaware oriented. Saint-Saëns Sonata is a classic work from the clarinet literature. I became acquainted with it in high school and really didn't start performing it until I came here. So I think I did that for an interview recital. Actually, it might have been the interview recital at the University of Delaware in 2015, again with Julie. So uh, lots of Delaware roots there. Some of the other works are very popular works, and I had an idea when I got here that I wanted to provide a model for aspiring clarinetists in the state as the clarinet professor at the university. So the Cavallini Adagio and Tarantella, the Henri Rabaud Solo de Concours, and the Verdi Andante from La Forza del Destino are in a rotation for all state band auditions here in the state for the senior level. So I wanted to record those so I would have them available as kind of to provide a model. Classical music sort of is mostly centered, I see, in Newcastle County here, and it doesn't get down to Kent County or Sussex County quite as much. So a CD is pretty portable, and once it's released, it should be on Spotify, and if they have access to the Naxos streaming music library. So I think it makes it a nice portable example of how I think the pieces should be performed. Of course, in 2017, it might be a little bit different than it was in 2015, because we're always developing, our views are always changing, and we get more information and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you connect with Kevin for his piece? Because I'm looking at the disc, and I see that he composed this in 1981, so it predates your coming to you.
Oh, that's his birth date.
Oh, that's his birthday.
Yeah.
So did he compose this for you?
No, it was composed in 2012. It was an interesting project by another clarinetist from Italy, Arianna Teghi, and she actually commissioned works from composers in all 50 states. Mm-hmm. And perform them in some marathon concert. And there's a YouTube video. It's really quite interesting. I think it was raining or something because you could hear it in the background. But I became acquainted with him in Delaware. He actually introduced himself and gave me a bunch of scores.
Of course, I've met him. There's no way he could have composed that in 1981.
Yeah. I think it's from 2012.
Okay. Great. Now, let's talk a little bit about the logistics of putting this together. I mean, who did you have to work with? How did you bring people together? Did you, rehearsing, setting up the rehearsal hall, because it was it was recorded at the university.
Yes.
So what are all the logistics involved in that?
Well, some of the logistics involved, first thing is of course funding, and that came from the Established Artist Fellowship of 2015, so very grateful for that, because these things are not free by any means. Having a good engineer, and I went through references to Andreas Meyer, who's very, very popular, very famous in the industry. He does Hilary Hahn's engineering, for example. So he's actually on faculty at UD in... he does recording engineering and that kind of thing for our students. So he's a terrific resource. He knows Gore well, Gore Recital Hall, which is a recital hall that we recorded at the university. It's literature that we were performing pretty often or had performed in the past. So that's a consideration. It's best to perform something half a dozen, a dozen, 40 times before you record it. So you feel like you're really, really know it. Getting everybody available on the same date that the facilities were available was a challenge, but it's doable. It usually working 6 months out from a recording session is ideal. I have some ones coming up for a commission disc that will be a later release that are coming up in November, and we just sort of hashed all that out and May or June to get all that together. So it requires some advanced planning and things like that. And then you've got to get the piano tuner there. There are, of course, additional rehearsals and things like that just to make sure you're feeling good. One of the great things about recording, some people don't like it so much, is that you can really get your most perfect take and use that one, and technology's so amazing that if there's like a little thing here or a little thing there, you just splice in a different take that was better in that particular spot. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty grueling 2 or 3 days, lots of stop and start and just making sure you've got all the best thing, and then you go back and you have to listen to it repeatedly and find the best stuff. And then there's stuff that might have occurred in a given take that's like a little noise or something. Mm-hmm. And then you actually might have liked that take musically more than another one, but the noise is distracting. So you have to go with it's an interesting process. This was my first such project. So it was a educational experience for sure.
So how many actual days of recording
Two days. We did this one in 2 days.
And then, you know, in film terms, you then went to the cutting room and did the editing.
Yeah,
Is that right?
That took about a year and a half.
That took a year.
That part,
and a half.
Actually, funny.
Just listening and listening and listening. And
yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Now, did you do that yourself, or were the other musicians involved with that as well?
I was back and forth with Andreas a lot. Part of his role as the engineer is to sit backstage with the scores and take notes for everything that he hears from every take and things like that. So he sort of provided me with a first sort of rough edit, so to say, and then we worked from that rough edit to polish and refine it to come up with the finished product you see before you.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've got about a minute left, so let's remind our listeners again how they can find out information about this particular disc release.
First thing, my professional website's probably the best place to go right now. I have a few short listening examples available that demonstrate the program, I think, pretty well. ChristopherNicholsClarinet.com. And if you go under audio, there are little samples there. On September 8th, 2017, it'll be available for purchase through iTunes, Amazon.com, and all those sorts of things. And also through my website, there's like a little button that takes you to the electronic press kit, which also has information about the performers and the pieces and all that.
Great. And it's Nichols, N-I-C-H-O-L-S, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So ChristopherNicholsClarinet.com.
Yes.
Well, Chris, this has really been fascinating to hear about your background, the breadth of your experience, and the upcoming release of this disc, Elegia. Again, a couple of the featured pieces on it.
John Cage's Sonata for solo clarinet, Aurelio Mignani's Elegia for clarinet and piano, Kevin Cope's Sirocco for unaccompanied clarinet, the Camille Saint-Saëns Sonata, Henri Rabaud's Solo de Concours, Ernesto Cavallini, Adagio of Tarantella, and the Andante from Giuseppe Verdi's La Forza del Destino.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Paul.